Welcome to a special edition of the Wahoo Central Podcast. I'm Jeff White from VirginiaSports.com, and on the eve of the baseball team's three-game series with Notre Dame at Davenport Field, I'm talking today to graduate student Robbie Coleman, whom you could call the Cavaliers' elder statesman. Robbie, thanks for stopping by.
Not a problem. Glad to be here.
So you graduated, if I have this right, in 2012 from Park Vista Community High School in Florida.
Yes.
In 2012, Noah Murdock and the other first years on the UVA team, this UVA team, were finishing up the eighth grade.
Yes.
Do the youngsters on the team give you a hard time about the generation gap?
Yeah, I think it's just not a hard time, but we definitely joke about it. It's pretty keep it lighthearted, but it's fun.
I mean, it's just, you know, this is a sport where it's not uncommon for guys to leave after 3 years. So, right. It, you know, in almost every other sport, the fifth-year senior is not rare. Baseball is a little bit of an exception. So
right.
Because of your experience, you have – what is your? How do you see your role on the team? I mean, you've been through things that most of your teammates have not here.
Right. I mean, I just take it day to day, honestly. You know, my role is obviously to do anything to help this team win, whether it's catch, play first base, DH, wherever coach puts me. But then, you know, the role of helping out the young guys, you know, give them my experiences, they can take it for what it's worth. But I think, you know, I learned a lot last year helping out some other guys. Even though I wasn't playing, I still traveled, you know, just giving them any piece of advice that I can. And they ask me questions all the time and just keep everybody engaged in the game and learning stuff and getting better every day.
So how'd you end up in Charlottesville? What's your recruiting story?
Pretty short and sweet. I had good grades in high school, didn't want to stay in Florida, so I ended up looking at a few schools outside of Florida. Went up to UPenn, went up there for a baseball camp. This is my sophomore year of high school, mm-hmm. So I was just going to narrow it down as I got older and decide where I wanted to go, and then ended up going to a camp here. You know, coaching staff saw me. I ended up staying after one of the camps for
So the staff had not been recruiting you before that point?
I mean, they, you know, everyone sends out those, yeah. They come to our camps and stuff like that. I wouldn't necessarily say I had any contact
right.
with them. But, you know, I got here. They asked me if I wanted to stay and watch one of the practices, you know, see how they did things, you know, fell in love with the way that, you know, practice was handled by the coaching staff. You know, obviously this is a beautiful place. I came in the fall. I mean, it doesn't get much better than
yeah.
this. And then ended up going back home and committed on my 16th birthday, actually. So,
you graduated last spring with a bachelor's degree in economics and a minor in history.
Correct.
Were you always going to come back and use this final season of eligibility, or did you debate that at all?
I mean, it was a pretty short debate. I got injured. It was, you know, you can rest for a little while and then try and finish out the season. That was an option. But because of the severity of the tears in my mm-hmm. UCL was, you know, I needed surgery. And so whether it was done after the season or right now, it was necessary. And so I ended up deciding that, you know, it's a good idea to get it done now. I'd have 11 months to get ready to play the season, you know, next year. And, you know, I had an extra year. I could, you know, apply for a fifth year and,
right.
you know, had a 1 year master's that I could do. And so, just made sense, and it was a pretty easy decision for me.
So I believe the last fifth-year senior in the program was Whit Mayberry, right?
Correct.
And you played with him, so that
yeah.
was your second
that was
year?
That was my first year.
First year.
Yeah.
So you talked to him about it at all? Or
I didn't, no.
Not that you necessarily needed to.
No, Whit's a great guy, and, you know, in my time, you know, as a first year and second year when I was young, and those guys were the older guys, it was – you know, I always looked up to them, and he was a great role model and great teammate. So having the opportunity to be that guy for the younger guys,
pretty
I think
cool.
it made it, you know, pretty easy decision.
So you will leave Virginia with 2 degrees, which
correct.
Is no yeah. small feat.
No.
Tell us what you're doing right now. You're in the Curry School?
I'm in the Curry School, Higher Education Administration, learning a lot, not a little bit different than my undergrad career, but interesting stuff and keeping me learning new things.
So before we talk about the present, you've referred a couple times to, I guess, the watershed event of last year. In February 2016, you're on the mound pitching against East Carolina, and you hurt your right elbow. You end up needing Tommy John surgery, right?
Correct.
Well, for one thing, there's not a whole lot in your bio in the section on the high school about your background as a pitcher. How much did you throw in high school?
I used to just catch and end up closing pretty much all the time. I'd catch six innings and throw the seventh. And then when I got here in the fall, I did pretty similar stuff. In the Orange and Blue World Series, I would catch and then pitch at the end and maybe the eighth or ninth. And then when I came back after the fall, you know, because of that team and,
right,
you know, the position players that we had at that point, you know, Fisher, Pappy, Down, like all those guys, it was, you know, I was going to pitch. And then I got hit in the left cheek, ended up having four facial fractures. And so I missed a good 12 weeks there before I could get back on the field. And then it was just a catch because, you know, Irving was catching every day then. So I made, I think it was like 9 starts or something like that, and all of them were at catcher. So nobody really saw the part of me
pitching
at all. And then last year in the fall, coach came up to me and was like, you know, just throw a bullpen every now and then, see, you know, still got it. And so then in the spring when, you know, we needed some guys in the bullpen, a freshman, I was like, yeah, sure.
I'm sorry it didn't work out because I'm sure it would have been pretty cool.
It would have been fun to do that. I love pitching. It's fun.
Is that a cumulative injury, just stress over time, or was it kind of one traumatic thing that happened when you threw?
It could have happened at any time. I mean, it's my fourth year and been playing a lot of baseball. I've been playing since I was a little boy, so I think it happens. It's a common injury nowadays. So. Yeah.
What was the rehab like? I mean, I guess if there was any kind of blessing, it happened early enough. Better to happen early than late. I mean, I know Derek Casey has dealt with, you know, his happened later when he had it, and it can run into the next season. So, how was the rehab?
It wasn't bad. No, Brian McGuire, we call him B-Mac, he's the trainer.
Athletic trainer,
yeah. Does a great job. Pretty smooth process. You know, the first week I was in a cast. Then it was really getting the mobility back, you know, full range of motion. That's important.
Right.
And then obviously then just strength. And then I think it was like 6 months. So you start swinging first, and then 6 months you start really extremely light tossing, and then it just a throwing program from there. Yeah.
You were not the only guy sidelined with a season-ending injury last year. Jake McCarthy, Evan Sperling, and Derek Casey were all out. That's a lot of talent. Those are four guys who are all, you know, you're all playing big roles this year. How difficult was it, you know, as much as you helped as a coach of sorts to not be able to play and, you know, NCAA regional ends here on a disappointing note? I'm sure it was tough for you guys, wasn't it?
Yeah, it is. It's always, you know, you wish you could do stuff and wish you could be out there, but, you know, I think – you know, obviously last year you had, you know, key players step up and play important roles as well, and that gives them the experience that they're going to use this year and if they get an opportunity. And so I think it was me and Jake got pretty close, obviously, because we were going, had surgery on the same day, I think, and went through a, you know, similar rehab
process.
Yeah,
how long you got hurt on February 28th? Do you have surgery quickly, or do they need to let
it was
swelling
March,
go down? Or
March 15th.
Okay, so a couple of weeks.
Yeah, well, it really was I got it done by Dr. Andrews, and he's a pretty busy guy. So, just fitting into his schedule. I got it done as soon as possible. And then, like I said, me and Jake had it, I think, a day apart, surgery, and then I was just going through the rehab process together. Good kid.
So on to this season. Heading into this series with Notre Dame, the Hoos are 31-9. You are second on the team in hitting with a .366 batting average. You recently had a 12-game hitting streak. Did you see this coming? I mean, the way you've been hitting the ball, I mean, it'd be impressive anyway, but you're coming off a major injury. And Yeah. And even if that doesn't affect you that much the way it would throwing, it's still, you were out for a while.
Right. I mean, I would say certainly, you know, I knew I was capable of doing it. You know, I think it's just a matter of getting at bats and getting, you know, used to it. And so I think my first three years of playing, you know, playing quite a bit my second year and then almost the whole year my third year, I would say, you know, I just got comfortable, more comfortable mm-hmm. playing at this level. And then, you know, coming back, it was just getting used to live pitching again. But, you know, I swung the bat well and felt comfortable. And so, you know, I think it's working out pretty well.
You came into this year with exactly two career home runs, one in 2014, one in 15. You already have five home runs this season. Maybe it's contagious because the team is hitting a lot of home runs. Yeah. But what's your explanation for this power surge?
I don't know. I don't know.
I don't want to jinx it. Yeah.
No, I never hit home runs in high school either. I would have, you know, just like you said, maybe one a season. But no, I think it's just, you know, Coach O'Connor, I know he said after some of the games that it's been warmer outside. The wind usually blows a little bit more there. Maybe I got some help there, a couple of them. But I don't know, just I think some of the older guys are leading the way. You know, Hazley's got, what, 11, and Payton's got 10.
Payton's got 10. Cam Simmons has five like you. Yeah. Caleb Knight's got three. Charlie Cody, four.
Yeah.
Ernie and Weber have two each. So, yeah, Jake has one. Tell him to pick up the pace a little bit. What about the way the whole team is hitting? I mean, I know there are games still to be played, and you can't stamp this as the best hitting team of the Brian O'Connor era, but right now it's really hitting. Is it contagious at all, like people say? That's kind of one of those cliches that floats around in sports.
You know, it just gives you the confidence, especially, you know, you face good arms in this league, and, you know, you get first, you know, pitch of the game, Ernie Clement gets a single. It just gives you that confidence that you can, you know, oh, Ernie got a hit off him, I can get a hit off him. Right. It's not like you go out there and the first, you know, seven guys get retired and you're like, wow, this guy's tough.
Yeah.
You know, and certainly you're going to face good arms in the postseason. So I think having that depth and having anybody 1 through 9 that can start a rally for us, I think it's just, it gives you confidence as an offense and certainly is contagious.
Let me ask you about two of your fellow Floridians, Adam Hazley and Pavin Smith. I mean, both are having monster years. Adam is still hitting above 400. He's at 407. As you mentioned, he's got the 11 home runs. Pavin's hitting 365. He's got 10 home runs. Adam is 5-1 as a pitcher, you know, 3.31 ERA. What about the talent of those two guys?
You just said it. It's just talent and experience. They've played every day their first 3 years, and I think, you know, you got with that class, you got Ernie, and so I think those three guys have played extremely pivotal roles. And I mean, having 400 at bats in Division I baseball helps you out a little bit. And so I think they're, you know, they're always guys that are working hard in the cage and on the off season. They're working on their swing and getting better. And so, you know, just they're producing, and I'm not surprised by it.
You've started 19 games at catcher in addition to being the DH and playing a little first base. Where is the pitching staff kind of right now as opposed to early in the season? There have been some changes in the weekend rotation. Noah's in there now.
Right.
Daniel pitched a complete game last night, Daniel Lynch, which was fantastic. He's done well midweek. How has that group evolved, in your opinion?
You know, certainly things happen early in the season, and you mess around with it a little bit. And certainly, you know, from an offensive standpoint, we change, you know, adding Caleb Knight to the lineup. And now, you know, to keep him in the lineup, I, you know, play first base. Right. And I think that's an extremely effective lineup. But from the pitching staff, I think, you know, you started out Daniel through on Friday, and then you had Sperling through Saturday and Adam on Sunday. You know, some guys struggle a little bit early on, and you give other guys opportunities. And I think, you know, Noah Murdock has done a tremendous job. He threw extremely well against Virginia Tech, through 7 strong innings. And I think that's, you know, key for us. We're going to have guys step up, but it's always good to have, you know, Daniel Lynch, even though mm-hmm. he got moved from the weekend rotation to the midweek rotation. I think, you know, him going out there and doing what he did last night is going to be important, especially in the postseason when you need you know, that extra guy to come out, and especially, you know, him throwing well, I think he's going to do a great job for us.
I know baseball takes up most of your time. Do you get out to the golf course during the year? You're an avid golfer, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, I grew up around golf. My dad,
played.
Dad played at Rollins College. He's been a director of golf in South Florida for, geez, 35 years now. And so he's, whenever I go home, I love spending time with him, going out and playing golf. And so I just grew up around it. But, yeah, I try and get out if I can.
Who's the
best? I only have three clubs here. It's two long drivers and a six iron. So if I go anywhere, it's usually just to the range.
Who's the best golfer on the team? Would that be you?
No, Ernie, for sure.
Really?
Yeah. He's a really good golfer.
Geez, from way up there in Rochester?
Yeah. So. Yeah, he's just got a smooth stroke and, you know, kind of like his baseball swing, short and simple, and he puts it right down the middle.
You have something of a unique perspective, you know, among the players on the team, just because you've been – this is the fifth team you've been a part of now. I know, you know, the story won't really be written till the – postseason is done, but what do you see as kind of the potential of this team? Is this in line with some of the better teams you played on?
For sure. Yeah, I think Ramschmacher the other night, he interviewed me after the game, and he was talking about the 14 offense and this offense and,
yeah,
you know, what kind of teams I've been a part of. And I think, you know, certainly we have, you know, every team has potential to do great things. It's a matter of doing the right things at the right time. And so, you know, in 15, we started out, it was a slow season, but then caught fire at the end and we're doing things the right way and ended up, you know, winning the whole thing. And so it's not necessarily defined by, you know, what certainly how you play in the regular season,
right,
but it's when you get into postseason play and, you know, you get into the 3-2 games and the 5-4 games and tough situations, you got to be able to win those games at those times. And certainly last year we didn't do that, but that team had the potential, yep, to do, you know, pretty good things as well. So I think it's going to be – we'll see come playoff time.
So if you compiled a list of the guys you've played with at UVA, it would be a long one. To put you on the spot a little bit, who's the most, in terms of maybe just raw talent, the most talented guy you've played with here?
I mean, there's a bunch.
I know.
I mean, names that come to mind, obviously, like Pavin, ever since he stepped on the grounds here, I mean, just a beautiful left-handed swing, raw power and talent. Mm-hmm. Pappy, Fisher was just a raw athlete, you know, ran fast, threw well,
right,
hit well, was just pretty dangerous. Howard. Just had a,
yeah,
obviously a good arm. I mean, throwing 100 miles an hour, that's, you can't really teach that.
Right.
So it's a long list.
Yeah, you got a lot of good choices. Your second year, UVA goes to Omaha for the College World Series, gets to the Championship Series, loses to Vanderbilt. Your third year, get back to Omaha. Obviously win the whole thing. I'm guessing those are your favorite memories, or 2015.
Well, they stick out for sure. I would say, you know, that number one, they should do a 30 for 30 on those two years, because that'd be like, you know, two basketball teams making it to the finals two,
right,
years in a row.
Yeah, which Florida did, you know, back when you were younger.
But it's just ridiculous the way it panned out. And we played Maryland at home 2 years in a row, and then in the finals playing Vanderbilt 2 years in a row.
Right.
You just can't really write that up. And so, you know, I was told in 14 that, you know, this is just a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity that I got to live again the next year. And so I think that kind of sums it up for me, is how indescribable that feeling was to go so far and fall short in 14 and then
come back
and win it.
Have you allowed yourself to daydream at all about, I mean, I believe you would have to be the first and only player in program history to get to Omaha three times if the team were to get there this year. Have you, I know you want to stay focused on the next game and the next day, but
right,
do you allow yourself to dream about what that would be like?
I mean, Omaha is just a different place. You know, you make it there and it's just, that's such a cool experience. You get, you know, 30,000 fans and you know, everybody's there to see college baseball, and it's at the highest level, and it's so competitive and so much fun. And so and you're competing for a championship. So I think it's certainly it's at the maybe in the back of my head a little bit, but I think right now, yeah, we're focused on finishing out a strong regular season, and we got four quality opponents on the weekend coming up, and so I think we take care of that and put ourselves in a good position. I think certainly we'll make a run for it.
Yeah, well, good luck. Good luck the rest of the way, starting this weekend against Notre Dame.
Yes, thank you, sir.
So the weather forecast for the weekend, as you people may know, looks a little questionable in Charlottesville, but hopefully we'll get the baseball series and all the other scheduled events in. Remember to check virginiasports.com for schedules and information on baseball and all the other teams. I'll be back next week with another Wahoo Central podcast. Until then, thanks for listening.